Praise the Lord. Amen. Grab your Bibles. I'm looking at the time. We still have, by the way, we have more choir a little bit later today. We have more testimonies a little bit later as well. And we have a short message today. I promise it's only 2 pages long. That's really short. But take a look at this as we turn to the Word this morning. With the help of our God, you'll notice on the inside there's a place for you to write, "The Lord has brought me thus far." And we hope that you will, as God speaks to your heart, young people, you too, that you will record something or write something that God has put on your heart. "The Lord has brought you thus far." If you are here this morning, the Lord has brought you this far, right? He has brought you thus far. Do you know, let me go ahead and tell you right now, do you know when your last Ebenezer stone will be? If you're a Christian, do you know when it will be? I can tell you. I can already tell you. If Jesus waits for on his return, your last Ebenezer stone is going to be when you draw your last breath on earth. The Lord has brought you thus far. When you breathe out your last earthly breath, the next breath that you breathe in will be heaven's air, and he will have brought you home to be with him forever. That's going to be it. So that's not I hope you don't think of that as a morbid thing. That's an encouraging thing. The Lord has brought me thus far. So we're going to turn this morning to the word of the Lord very briefly, and then we're going to have time for testimonies. By the way, we have gifts for you as well, souvenirs and things like that as well. So that'll come a little bit later. But we talked just this morning, "With the help of our God" is our theme, and it's taken from Nehemiah 6:16, when Nehemiah and the Jews rebuild the burned gates and the broken walls around Jerusalem. I want to remind you, I talked about this a couple of months ago. I want to remind you of this group that rebuilt the walls and reestablished the burned gates. They were few. Lighthouse is not a large church. They were untrained for the work. They were overwhelmed by the enormity of the task. They were surrounded by the enemy and even infiltrated by the enemy and opposition. And they were at times overcome and filled with doubt and fear, and their confidence was low. Has that ever happened to you before as you've walked with the Lord? You've battled doubt and fear, and you thought to yourself, "I can't do this. I can't make it through. I'm not going to make it through. It's too difficult. It's too hard. The opposition is too great. There's too far to go." Let Nehemiah 6:16 encourage you this morning, because everything that you face, everything that's ahead of you, everything that surrounds you, that you feel is against you, is very similar to how the children of Israel, God's people, were, and you're God's people, how they were as they looked at rebuilding the wall and setting up the gates again. And then we come to Nehemiah 6:15 and 16. What an encouraging two verses. If you're reading a more formal translation, it will say, "In the month of Elul," which actually is right around now. It was considered the first month of the Jewish year. But in modern translation, it's October 2nd. They know the exact date, by the way. The exact date they know when this happened. "So on October 2nd, the wall was finished just 52 days after we had begun." Nehemiah is part of it. He's writing it, yeah? "When our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were intimidated and lost their confidence. They realized this work," "and lost their confidence. They realized this work had been done," how? "With the help of our God." With the help of our God. The work of God in your life, in your family, in this church, will always only ever be done with the help of your God. The work of God, it can only be done with the help of God. That's the nature of it. We're going to talk about that for a little while this morning. And today we celebrate that. So if you'll remember, last week in preparation for today, we looked at the Ebenezer, the stone of help that Samuel set up when God helped his people defeat the Philistines. And we read that story. It's in 1 Samuel 7. It's verse 12, and we talked about the story, so I don't want to go back to that. But I do want us to read this again because it fits so well with our theme this morning. Then Samuel took a stone, and he set it upright between Mizpah and Shen. That was the general central area of Judah, of the land of Israel. So it was in the center. So as people walked by, they would see the stone. He named it Ebenezer, explaining, "The Lord has helped us to this point." As I said last week, some of you used to watch Christmas Carol, the movie, I don't know who it was produced by, but written by Charles Dickens way back when, and you heard about Ebenezer Scrooge. Charles Dickens got it from 1 Samuel 7:12. And he set up the stone, and he explained, "The Lord has helped us to this point." Now, we didn't talk about this last week, but I want to encourage you, because some of you today and some of us today are looking ahead or we're looking back, and in our lives, we feel that we have more defeats than victories. Do some of you feel that? You feel like you've got a few more defeats in your life than you have victories? Look with me as you consider that. 20 years earlier, why is this so meaningful? 1 Samuel chapter 4, actually almost 21 years earlier. Look with me, verses 1 and 2, and then 10 and 12. "At that time, Israel was at war with the Philistines. The Israelite army was camped near Ebenezer." They were camped near Ebenezer, and the Philistines were at Aphek. The Philistines attacked and defeated the army of Israel, killing 4,000 men. So Ebenezer had been a scene of defeat. Ebenezer had been a place where they had lost and not won. Ebenezer had been a place where they had fought and been defeated. Not only that, look with me, go a little bit further. So they're defeated, and then the people of Israel, God's people, decide, oh, we're going to get some extra help. So foolishly, they go and they get the Ark of God, which represented the presence of God. They said, "We're going to take the Ark into battle, and with the Ark of God, we will surely defeat the enemy." But you know what? That was their thinking. That wasn't God's plan. God doesn't bless our plans. God blesses his plans in our lives. Have you ever tried to do something? "Oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." And you fell flat on your face and you thought, "God, what happened? What's wrong? Why didn't you?" And if we would but listen, God would say, "That wasn't my plan. I wasn't part of that. That was your plan. You were trying to do something." Look with me at verses 10 and 11. So they go in and they fight again. And the Philistines fought desperately, and Israel was defeated again. Israel was defeated again. Is it because the Philistines were such a strong military power? No, they were a strong military power. But God had told Israel, "If you will walk with me, I'm going to take care of you. I will help you defeat the enemy." The problem was, they were doing it in their own strength. And so what happens? Israel was defeated again. The slaughter was great. Not just 4,000, but 30,000 Israelite soldiers died that day. The survivors turned and fled to their tents. So there's cowardice also. Great death, there's cowardice. Verse 11, the Ark of God was captured. This was the worst defeat ever for Israel. Worst defeat ever. And Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were killed. Eli was the judge. Eli was the last great judge. Remember when Samuel was a little boy, he went into the temple to learn to serve the Lord, and Eli was the priest and the judge there. And what happens? His two sons are killed. And so this is 20 years earlier, and what I want us to see is this. It's a scene of great defeat. It's the worst defeat that Israel ever faces. This defeat is worse than Ai when they went into the promised land. Why? Because the Ark of God is taken. And this was a great shame for them. And 20 years later, God turns it around and he says, Ebenezer, the Lord has brought us to this point. So I want to encourage you this morning, each one of you, if there is a place of defeat in your life today and you're discouraged, I want you to see what God can do and what happens when God enters the picture, when God enters the scene, when God intervenes, when you and I line up with God's plans and God's purposes. He can take the worst defeat in your life and make it a victory. He can take the greatest shame and make it for his glory. This is what God does. How meaningful that Samuel sets it up and he says, the Lord has helped us to this point. And this is not just the God of then. This is the God of now. This is the God of now. This is the God of today. This is the God of Hong Kong, September 24, 2023. He's the same God. So, with the help of our God. So I want to talk for just a few minutes about this help, our help. And the first thing I want to look at Okay, I was really afraid that Stephen was going to preach my sermon this morning. Take a look. Remember we read this one this morning? Psalm 121, 1 and 2. I look up, so we're talking about help. I look up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Or does my help come from there? And the psalmist says, no, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. What does that mean? Our help comes from God, not from created things. It comes from God. Now, people can help us. People can help you with your schoolwork. People can help you with your work. People can help you with what you're doing. That's not what this means. Yes, people can help you. But the help that makes a difference, the help that changes your life, the help that transforms a situation, the help that transforms you, cannot come from people. It has to come from God. It does not come from created things. And sometimes we praise people so much. Oh, thank you so much. And yes, thank you for helping. Yes, this and yes, that. And even sometimes when people say, oh, Pastor Jen, that message really helped me. I'm glad the message really helped you, but I want you to know something. I am a created being, just like the heavens and the earth, although he has breathed his life into me. And your help does not come from me. Your help comes from the Lord, who is the creator, who made everything. And so the first point is this. Your help comes from God and not from created things. I look to the mountains. Oh, the mountains are so great, right? If you've ever been in like around the Rocky Mountains or the Alps or some other place like that, and you look and the mountains look so grand and great and inspiring. Wow, surely, because you see, at that time, the people of the nations around Israel, they worshiped the gods of the mountains. They believed that those gods were the strongest gods. But the psalmist says, I look to the mountains. Nah, my help doesn't come from there. Those are created things. The heavens and the earth, the mountains are created. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So first, your help comes from God, not created things. Secondly, Psalm 108, verses 12 and 13. Oh, give us help against the adversary, for the help of man is worthless. With God, we will do valiantly, and it is he who will trample our adversaries. The second thing I want us to remember this morning is this. Apart from God, we won't be helped. We won't be. And the psalmist says, oh, he calls God, oh God, give us help against the adversary, for the help of man is worthless. In the deep things you face, in the critical things that you face, in the tough things that you face, whatever your age. And I'm not naive. I think sometimes, those of you who are younger this morning, I think you face sometimes greater pressures and greater difficulties than someone than someone who is older. And what I want to say to you this morning is, you're a young person here this morning or a young adult this morning, I want you to know that your greatest help, whatever you face, it's going to come from God. For the help of man is worthless. The help of man is worthless. So that's the second thing. Apart from God, we won't be helped. Here's the third one. And this is really important. Let me say it to you first, and then I'll read it to you. Let's go ahead. Psalm 109, verses 26 and 27. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me because of your unfailing love. Let them see that this is your doing, that you yourself have done it, Lord. Here's the third point about help. God will help you not because of who you are, but because of who he is. Now, you should right now say, woohoo, raise the roof and praise the Lord and thank him for that. How many of you feel I'm unworthy to be helped? How many of you feel I got myself in this mess? I made really bad decisions. I got to figure this out for myself. I can't really ask God for help because I should have known better. I did know better, and I did it anyhow. And now look where I am. What a mess. Sorry, God. Okay, I'll work it out. Be encouraged this morning and turn to God and ask for help, because in his word, by the way, I'm not just taking one isolated verse. This truth is throughout the Bible. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me because of your unfailing love. God's help is given to you. God's help is provided. Not because you're so great. Not because you've earned it. Not because you've given a big offering to church. Not because you have perfect attendance at church for the last month and you've even been early. Come on. Don't we sometimes feel we sort of earn it and God helps us? You know, I've been really good. God's going to help me now. How many of you feel that way sometimes? I've been really good. God will help me. You will fall and fail at some point, sooner rather than later. But don't despair. God's help is available to you because of who he is, not because of how good you are. That encourages me so much, because as Kim said when he gave his testimony, sometimes it was really ugly in his heart and in his life. And let's be honest, he declassified that testimony. But you and I, if we were really honest, all of us would say at times, it is ugly here. Is it not? It's ugly here. If people could see what I think, if people could hear what I want to say, if people knew my thoughts, oh, it's a good thing that God can deal with those things. But God will give you help because of who he is. And that's a wonderful encouragement. And here's the next one. And it comes from Psalm 46, 1 and 2. God is... Did we read this one earlier too? Did we say it? I can't remember. I was afraid my sermon was being preached. Almost. That's right. Psalm 46, 1 and 2. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should move and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Now, let me give you another translation for that that will make this real to your heart this morning. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Those of us that know King James, this is very familiar to us. Here is what it means in a contemporary translation, which is very, very accurate. You ready? So encouraging. God is a helper who is always found in times of trouble. How encouraging is that? Let me read it to you one more time. This is from Holman Christian Standard Bible, HCSB. God is a helper, a very present help in trouble. That's what that phrase means. God is our refuge and our strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. God's help, so here's the point. You see it already, but I want to say it to you again. God's help is available to you when you need help. When you need help. Do you need help this morning? God's help is available to you. Are the circumstances overwhelming? Like, hey, if the earth moves, that's a big thing. If the mountains slip into the sea, especially in Hong Kong, with all the mountains and all of the buildings, like at Red Hill, Red Fern, what is it? Red Hill Peninsula right now. Some of those things are about to slip into the heart of the sea, aren't they? Those are big things. But God is there in those things. He's there in the big things. And as Jocelyn shared in her testimony this morning, he's there in the small things as well. In the time, God doesn't care if it's a big need or a small need. God doesn't care if it's big trouble or small trouble. If it's a need or if it's trouble, God can always be found. He's help that can be found in your need, in the time of need. And that should bring such encouragement to you this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, we've talked about what God will do, what he is, but I want to move forward just a little bit in the last few minutes that we have here. That's pretty short. And I want to go back to what we just read, Psalm 108, verses 12 and 13. And I want to pose this question to you as we celebrate our anniversary and as we look ahead to a new year. Okay, so here we are, September 24th. We have different anniversaries. You have your birthday anniversaries. Happy birthday to those who've had birthdays. So they're birthday anniversaries. There are new year anniversaries when we look at the start of a new year. There are church anniversaries as well. There are wedding anniversaries, things like that. When we look back, but we also look ahead. So in these few minutes, I want us to look ahead this morning because God is all of those things. But I want to take it beyond God helps us in trouble. And God does help us in trouble, brothers and sisters. He does. But I want to say something to you this morning. If God's help is, if you only see it in times of trouble, you'll be going from one trouble to another trouble, putting out fires, getting out of trouble, and then moving on until the next time there's trouble. And that is part of what God does in our lives. But I want us to lift our eyes higher this morning to what God wants to do in our lives. And we see in Psalm 108, verse 13, with God we will do what? Valiantly, valiantly. That's one of those nice old English, I think it's an old English word, I'm not sure. With our God, we will do valiantly. Another translation says, perform valiantly. And it is he who will trample our adversaries. Here's a modern translation. With and through God, we will do mighty things. So that's what I want to say to us this morning. As we look ahead, we've looked back, God does all of these things, but I want us to look ahead for just a few minutes this morning, and I want to challenge you this morning, what valiant things, what mighty things does God have for you to do in the year ahead, in the month ahead, in the week ahead? If you are living your life from trouble to trouble to trouble to trouble, what a way to live. Now, God will help you in your trouble because we've just looked at that. But God wants more. God has more. God's planning more for your life. Remember Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you help and a future. Does that sound like I'm going to help you out of trouble every time you get into trouble? No, God has something for your life. Young people, God has a plan for your life. You're 13, you're 14, you're 15, you're 22, you're 17. God has a plan for your life. God has something big for your life that's more than what you know it is right now. God has this. This is what God is like. Hey, he's the God who made the whole world. He's the God who planned everything. You think he just set you, you know, like a little wind-up toy, you know. There you go. That was pretty creative. I could almost go to Hollywood, but I'd fail. But seriously, seriously, God has a plan for your life. It's not to be aimless. It's not to just kind of make it okay. With and through God, we will do mighty things. Mighty things. God wants to do big things through this through you this year. God wants to do big things with you this year. Not just, no, I'm going to, it's not like you're a puppet. God wants to partner with you in important things. Important things, things that will make a difference in people's lives. Things that will transform your life. You say, well, yeah, but I just work in a bank office. Well, I'm just teaching in a classroom. You don't think big things can happen in a bank office or in a classroom? God can do great things. God will do great things wherever you are when you're in line with his plan. Now, let's look very quickly as we come in these last. Let me give you two examples because examples always help us. And let's look at David and let's look at Paul. And I like David because David was, when we first meet David, he was a young guy, Mark's age or younger than Mark. Mark's just had a birthday. But David maybe was 14, 15. Mark's older than that. But David was a young guy, and Samuel comes to him, same Samuel, and he says, you will be king. Boom. What a big thing. What a big thing. But how long does it take for Samuel, for David to become king? It takes him almost 20 years before God's plan is fulfilled. Now, look with me in 2 Samuel 22. Here's a song that David wrote, and then we're going to look at the other part of it, in Psalm 18, look at this. By the way, men, those of you that think you got to be masculine and tough and cool and whatever, David sang this song to the Lord. I like that. Playing the, I don't know what he was playing, but here we read it. David sang this song to the Lord on the day the Lord rescued him from all his enemies and from Saul. He sang, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior." And then he sings about what God has done to help him. Partway through, verse 7. In my distress, I cried to the Lord. Yes, I cried to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry reached his ears. And then it's in 2 Samuel 22. And it's also in Psalm 18. Got it? Two things very, very similar. Now, look at what else David says. He talks about God is this. I was in distress and he helped me. But David has learned that God is the God not only of yesterday and the present, but he's the God of the future as well. And David writes, God, he sang this when he had defeated all of his enemies. But what does he say? God arms me with strength, and he makes my way perfect. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. He trains my hands for battle. He strengthened my arm to draw a bronze bow. And then he says, you have given me your shield of victory. Your right hand supports me. Your help has made me great. Brothers and sisters, God's help makes you great. It makes you great. You're not a nobody. You're not insignificant. You are not just a little number in whatever. God's help, God's hand upon your life makes you great. And he accomplishes, he has great plans for your life. Amen. Amen. Okay? And then we close with Paul. Paul was a young, fairly young man. He was such a bad guy when he was Saul. How many of you think I was bad? How many of you think I was bad? I was bad. Saul was bad. He was a murderer. He was a murderer. And then he's on the way to capture and put to death Christians. And Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus. And Jesus says to Saul as a young man, I have a plan for your life, and it's a big plan. Brothers and sisters, God has a plan for your life, and it's a big plan. And 25 years pass, and Paul's doing what God has called him to do. You ready for it? He's arrested. Maybe he's going to get his head cut off, or who knows what's going to happen. And he stands before Agrippa, and he says this. He gives a testimony. He says, God called me to do this. God said this. God said that. People have tried to kill me. I've been shipwrecked. I've been stoned and left for dead. I've been beaten and this many times. But then he says in Acts 26:22, but I have had God's help to this very day, and so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like an Ebenezer, doesn't it? To this point. The choir's going to come in just a minute. But wait, don't change your focus yet. Sorry, I'm just letting you know this comes next. But with God's help, you will do great things. You will raise an Ebenezer. Paul faced so many opponents and so many enemies, but he made it. He made it through. So I'm going to pray for you now. Let me have your attention and your focus. And I want you to bring to the Lord your life. And I want you to ask God what he has for you and how he can help you to accomplish what God has put in your heart to do. And if you say, I don't know, I don't have anything in my heart, ask God, because he does have a plan. And you will say with Paul, I have had God's help to this very day. Some of you have felt, I'm not going to make it, I'm not going to make it, I'm not going to make it. Guess what? You've made it this far. You've made it this far. God's with you, and he's going to help you. It's so hard. Yes, it's hard, but with God's help, you will make it. It's hard to forgive. It's hard to deal with it. Yes, it is, but you've made it thus far. It's hard to bring it together, but you've made it this far. People are against me, but you've made it this far. My employer is this, 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 and this, but you've made it this far. My husband, my wife, this, that, but you've made it this far with the Lord's help. With the Lord's help. To this point, I've made it with the Lord's help. And here's my testimony. And so I stand here to testify. You say, I don't have a big testimony. Here's your testimony. I've made it this far. Do you need a testimony this morning? Here's one for you. I've made it this far. But I'm limping. But you've made it this far. But I'm tired. But you've made it this far. Amen? Amen. 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 You pray, let me pray for you. Amen? Amen. Lord, we come to you this morning with your help. With your help, we are able to make it. God, if that small group in Jerusalem could rebuild a wall in the face of everything, Lord, we are also able to do mighty things. We are also able to do valiantly with the help of our God. Oh, Lord, we thank you for every help in our time of trouble. We thank you it depends on you and not upon us. But, Lord, we also want to perform valiantly. We also want to do mighty things. God, I pray for your people who are here this morning, every single person, would you speak to their hearts this morning? Would you give them your plan if they want to hear your voice? Lord, if they want to make it on their own and do their own thing, God, you know you're going to have to let them do their own thing. But Lord, for us, for me, I want your plan. And God, I want to do mighty valiant things. I want to do great things, Lord. And you've promised in your word that with your help, I will do those things. Lord, you have promised with your help that your people, that your young people, that your youth, that your children will do great things. We look to you this day. Here we raise our Ebenezer. You've brought us this far with the help of our God. In the name of Jesus, we all pray and we say, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The choir.